Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today on Let's Face the Issues. We are talking with Representative Mike Hill, Republican representative from the state of Florida, District 1. Mike is a Christian, loves the Lord, serves the Lord, and I'm thankful that we have those in legislative positions, both local, state, and national, that find and understand the Word of God, that as service to God, we're serving God as a servant, even in the realm of the political arena. Many look at it that if you're in politics, you can't be saved. One of the major things that I find is if you serve God in a political realm, multitudes of times there you're condemned because of your stand. In fact, Congressman, not too long ago in Tallahassee, some folks got a little bent out of shape and uptight because of your position on a moral, ethical issue and making all kinds of statements in relationship to that. I'm thankful, and we don't need to get into that, but I just wanted to say to you, I am thankful for your stand on that issue and your willingness to continue to tenaciously stand on truth and morals and ethics and values. We talked just before the break, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Bible and the value of the Bible and having Bible put back in the classroom. Congressman, you've heard me say before, and I'll say again, that I believe that across the state of Florida, there are enough pastors that'd be willing to volunteer an hour each day or 2 hours a day in a classroom teaching the Bible if they're fearful of other teachers or public school teachers teaching it. What do you say from the standpoint of the qualifications that's needed for a teacher to teach the Bible?
Well, I would think that, first of all, whenever curriculum is introduced into schools, they don't just have it taught by someone who's not qualified. For example, if there's a math class, there's a qualified math teacher. History class, qualified history teacher. It would be the same with the Bible. When the Bible is being taught, it's going to be taught by a qualified Bible teacher, someone who has perhaps taken a course in the Bible, Bible history, that they took some courses of it in college. It might even have been their degree in theology in college. So it's going to be taught by the appropriate people. I wouldn't be opposed to pastors teaching it in schools. I'm sure would have to be up to the superintendents of who they would allow to come to the schools to teach. But I have no qualms that they were going to have qualified teachers teaching those courses in those schools.
I say that for the benefit of our listeners, because some of the major pushback that I've had in my communication and several broadcasts on the subject, and I've had those that say, well, I don't want just anybody teaching my child Bible. Well, if you look at it that way, you could say, I don't want just anybody teaching my child English or just anybody teaching my child math, but they've got to, as you said, be qualified to teach the subject that they're teaching, or they would not be in the classroom teaching it.
That's right. You know, they'll send their children to Sunday school at church, and they don't question those who are teaching them at Sunday school, their qualifications. They just want it taught. Right. And that's the point, just have it taught. And as I had mentioned earlier, the Bible is full of truth. And when a child reads it, the truth will get in them, and they'll start receiving that wisdom. And if it's not being taught properly, children are smart enough to know that, and God will protect them also from the untruth that some teacher may be intentionally or unintentionally telling them. God is going to make sure that the truth is going to prevail. So I don't have a concern about that at all.
Yes, and I'm thankful for the fact, and Congressman, I'm sure that you're aware of this from a historic standpoint, but it's called the Atkins, I-T-K-E-N, the Atkins Bible, that was... the Congress in 1777 had 20,000 printed just so that the pastors in the churches and the schools would have enough Bibles to be used to preach and teach from in the congregations and to have English and reading in the classrooms. And we've come a long way from that day when Congress looked at it on the basis that we need to make sure that we've got enough Bibles. In fact, I'm looking at a brief article here on this. And it says, in 1777, America began experiencing a shortage of several important commodities, including the Bible, On July the 7th, the request was placed before Congress to print the or import more Bibles because, quote, unless timely care to be used to prevent it, we shall not have Bibles in our schools and for our families and for public worship in God's houses and churches. A special committee overseeing the project was therefore set up, and this is what it says. The use of the Bible is so universal and its importance is so great, your committee recommends that Congress will order the Committee of a Commerce to import 20,000 Bibles from Scotland, from Holland, Scotland, or elsewhere into the different ports of the United States to be used in the classrooms and in the churches. That's how important it was for our fathers of yesteryear. And I'm thankful that you, Congressman, are taking that stand for today. Give our listeners the bill number, the House bill number, and tell us about the sponsorship. Tell us the status of it. And I know that you won't be in session until January, but the status and the reception from both sides of the aisle. Do we have enough co-signers on the bill that are co-sponsors on the bill? Do we have enough traction? What is your view of the status of that potentiality at this point, knowing that the session doesn't begin until January?
Dr. Youngblood, are you referring to Bible Taught in the Classroom bill?
Yes.
Yes. The status now is that it is in what is called bill drafting. In other words, it's in a position where House drafting is putting the bill together. It has not been assigned a number yet. But once the number has been assigned to it, then it has to be assigned to a committee. And then that committee chairman will determine if it will be heard or not. Now, last session, it was carried by Representative Kimberly Daniels, right there out of Jacksonville, a Democrat who loves the Lord. She pastors a church, I understand, there in Jacksonville. And I was a prime co-sponsor. Because she sponsored it last year, I'm going to give her the latitude to sponsor it again this year, should she so desire. And again, I will be a prime co-sponsor. It was assigned to two committees last year, and it passed both of those committees. One I was a member of. It came before my committee, and I testified in favor of it. And that was the pushback that we heard then. It was coming from the Democrat side, where they were saying that we must also teach other religions and other religious literature if we're going to teach the Bible, which, of course, is nonsense. So I believe that now it did not have a sponsor over on the Senate side. And I'm not quite sure why no one there picked it up, because there are several strong Christians who are senators in Florida. So I'm pretty sure that we'll have our strategy a little better coming up this next session, to where we will get a Senate sponsor, have it start moving on that side. It never did make it to the Florida, the House floor never did make it there last year, and I'm not quite sure why, when it had to go through another committee stop, and I don't believe it got a hearing in that third committee stop. But I believe we're going to get it to the House floor this upcoming session in January, starts January 14th, and that we can get it moving over on the Senate side too. I feel confident that Governor DeSantis would sign the bill once it passes both the House and the Senate. So
I'm praying that our listeners will be passionate enough about it, and they'll keep an eye on that, and will start calling their representatives in their different districts and the senators. And I'm praying that Senator Baxley and others in his category and status as a Christian man, I'm praying that he and others will be willing to introduce a matching bill in the Senate that it can move forward. I am so passionate about that, as you are, and I'm also passionate about what is called the heartbeat bill that you sponsored last year. What's the status of that for the future for this legislative session coming up in January?
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up again, Dr. Youngblood. It is also in bill drafting right now. We are making some final changes to it, and these are very good changes. What we've done is we've changed the heartbeat bill from the one that I introduced last year to look more like one that is coming out of Tennessee. I was at a recent meeting in Austin, Texas, with other conservative state legislators, and a state senator from Tennessee I had lunch with told me about their heartbeat bill. And what I thought that they did with their bill was absolutely brilliant. And so I modeled my bill after it. It's not identical to theirs, but it models a lot of what they do. And what they did was, and what I've done with my bill, is we have a preamble to the actual bill itself. The preamble has 27 whereases. And those whereases describe exactly what the intention of the bill is. That way, the courts, once it gets to them or to some judge, won't have to guess, well, I wonder what they meant about this particular area. No, the whereas spell it out explicitly. And what it does is it first of all declares that life begins at conception. We make that clear in the bill. So it's there. Life begins at conception. What we've also done is we have moved it away from the Roe v. Wade discussion. The Roe v. Wade discussion is based on the 14th Amendment and some contrived opinion of a woman's right to privacy. And because of that right to privacy, she can murder the child in her womb. It's utter nonsense. But
yes, it is.
We've taken it away from the 14th Amendment altogether, and instead we center it on the 9th Amendment. And what the 9th Amendment says, that any inalienable or God-given right, which is not spelled out here in this Constitution, because it's not here, doesn't mean that you don't still have it. You still have it, even if it's Amen. Not spelled out in this Constitution. That's what the 9th Amendment says. And so it takes it out broader beyond just our Constitution into common law. And common law, as it has in this particular instance, as it has been settled many years ago with our founding fathers by Blackstone and Blackstone Commentaries on the Law, states that every person has a right to life. And so we make it clear that in our bill with the whereases that we are referring to common law, we are referring to personhood, and that person starts at the moment of conception.
Absolutely, so and I'm thankful that you make mention of that life starting at conception, because my mind immediately goes to Mayor Pete, as they call him, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. And Mayor Pete, as you know, is a flagrant homosexual, and yet he is always talking about Jesus, God, and the Bible, made the statement that he feels closer to Jesus after he married his male husband than before. And he's the one that now has started to promulgating the thought and the advocacy that life begins at breath. And he paraphrases and destroys the integrity and the intent of the Word of God, where God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so Buttigieg is saying that life begins at breath. So life, that child in the womb, is not a child, not a human being, until he's out of the womb and breathes, according to Buttigieg. So I'm thankful that you have codified it in that fashion, that it's understood that life begins at conception. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Representative Mike Hill, representative in the state of Florida for District 1. And by the way, I like to say the district, but ladies and gentlemen, when we elect legislators and send them to the state capitol, they represent we the people, all of us. And so Representative Hill represents not just District 1, but all of the state of Florida. And we're talking about today some of the bills that's being introduced for the legislative session beginning in January. Feel free to call 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you that you and your guest, Representative Hill, are bringing up the subject of abortion. And the last show before yours is Dr. Brothers. He's a I think he's been a pastor 50 years. He made the statement, if the church you go to, the pastor's not speaking out against abortion, you get out immediately. And if the pastor says, oh, no, that's political, he said 60 million children being killed is definitely political. And what do you and your guests think of that statement?
I will let our guest today answer that. Congressman Hill, how do you respond to that caller's question and comment?
Well, I would say that if you are with a church that does not want to speak out against abortion, then I agree with that pastor. It's time to find another church. And the taking of life is not a political issue. It is a human issue. It
yes.
is something that we should all be aware of and something that we should all defend. We are here because our parents, our mother or father, did not abort us. And so we should give that same protection to that child in the womb. It is unconscionable to me how a mother can kill her own child when it is the most defenseless inside of her, where it should be the most protected place on earth, that that mother and or that father would kill that child. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. And it is something that we must stand for. We must stand for life. When we stand for life, we are standing for God, because God is life. He's the giver
yes.
of life.
Yes. Thank you so much for your call. And as Congressman Hill has just responded, I believe that we need to recognize, and Congressman, I've said this many times on this broadcast, as we deal with issues, whether it's the home, theological, doctrinal, biblical, the church, or whether it be societal or political, because God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and he did so in that order. And so any pastor that does not recognize that is not academically sound in his Bible, because we need to, as pastors, be salt and light. We need to take the stand and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but all of the attributing scriptures in relationship to life and living and facing issues, and that's part of it. And so we're talking about today the Bible and the value of the Bible. We're talking about life and the value of life. Congressman, there's an event coming up on the 3rd of October. That is next Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. It's called Take Your Bible to School. Bring Your Bible to School Day. Let me just give you a little history of that. You may be familiar with it. Bring Your Bible to School Day began in 2014 by Focus on the Family organization as a response to the American schools removing Bibles from the public schools. This event has grown in popularity, this article says. Then when, according to Biblica, 8,000 students participated in 2014, 155,000 in 2015, and then in 2016 it was 356,000, and it has grown exponentially since then. It is a focus, and as this article says that I have in my hand, the main focus of this is to have students not to feel afraid to express themselves and to read their Bible during their free time. And I'm thankful for that. What do you say to the students or the moms and the dads or families listening? Would you advocate for taking your Bible to school, for take your Bible to school day? What is your position on that, and what would your strong statement be in regard to that?
Oh, absolutely, I would. I support that 100%, Dr. Youngblood. You know, I came to know the Lord when I was 13 years old and became so on fire for him that I carried the Bible with me everywhere I went, including the school. And I would read it during my free time. And no one said a word to me about that. This was like in 1971. No one said a word to me because I carried my Bible everywhere I went. And I did that all throughout high school. And I read it. And it was always a time of comfort for me. It was a time of when I could find peace. And there is no doubt in my mind it helped me with my school grades. So I would encourage every Christian child to take your Bible to school. do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the ridicule, which may happen, because I was ridiculed. People called me a Jesus freak, but I took that as a badge of honor.
Yes.
I said, thank you. That's right. And so don't be afraid of the ridicule. You know, they persecuted the prophets, all of them. And so you're going to find persecution from this world, but don't be afraid. Be of courage. Quit like men and stand in the gap. Bring your Bible to school. Read it. Of course, don't be disruptive where you're reading it out loud. You know, just read your Bible at times when the teacher's not speaking, of course, so you're not disrupting anything. But during your free time, bring your Bible, read it. You're going to be edified. You will edify others, and you're going to be a witness to others when you do that.
It will be a witness to others. It will encourage others to stand up and to be willing to do so. I find it so sad, Congressman. Drew Brees, which is a New Orleans Saints quarterback, because he recommended bring your Bible to school and took a stand for it, he has faced all kinds of critics and criticism in relationship to that. This article says, critics were aghast that he would lend his name to an event citing our ministry's belief in biblical marriage and support of counseling those who are with unwanted same-sex attractions. In reporting on the episode, the Washington Post pejorative labeled us as anti-LGBT group because he took a stand for the Bible. They immediately made the transition that because focus on the family, stands for the family, stands against homosexual marriage, and as a result of that, because Drew Brees took a stand for bring your Bible to school day, then all of a sudden they categorized him in that realm and placed him on the defensive for it. We live in an era today where if you take a stand for truth, take a stand for Jesus, take a stand for morals and ethics and values, you take a stand for bring your Bible to school, then all of a sudden you're a bigot and something is wrong. That is sad that we live in that kind of climate. And so I'm thankful that, Congressman, that you are willing to openly state that you stand for that and you are for that, you advocate for that. And I am thankful for what you're doing in Tallahassee for we the people in the state of Florida. Congressman, I believe there are two or three other things that you're passionate about. We won't have time to go into the details of all of them, but tell our listeners some of the other things that's on your agenda for this legislative session and how we can pray for you in relationship to your ministry for God and for the gospel among us in a political position.
Yes, well, Dr. Youngblood, one was, of course, the heartbeat bill, which I've mentioned. The other is to repeal the unconstitutional parts of the bill that was passed shortly after the Parkland shooting, in particular the red flag laws, repealing of that. It's just a trampling on our constitutional rights. I've also filed legislation to remove taxes on manufacturing equipment parts. That's going to help our economy grow. When the government is taking less of our money, then that is what we can use for our families and in our community. So I've also filed legislation to protect our soldiers and heroes' monuments and all cenotaphs. So regardless of which military conflict that it was fought, and if there was a statue or a street name or a flag or a cenotaph that was erected in honor of those soldiers and heroes, my bill would be to protect it, that you cannot desecrate it, you cannot remove it, you cannot move it to another place, unless it is a place of equal prominence, on penalty of committing a felony. I think we have to protect our historical, our priceless art, our heritage, and what our nation has meant to us, what has become who we are today.
Absolutely. When we talk about the red flag laws, is that still House Bill 6003?
That's correct. House Bill 6003 removes the red flag laws, removes preventing 18 to 20-year-olds from purchasing a weapon, removes the definition of the bump stock, which is so broad it can mean any modification to your gun, and also removes a three-day waiting period. But it does keep in place those things which could actually prevent a next tragedy at a school, and that is hardening the schools, making them more safer, and providing funding for resource officers to be there to protect the children.
Absolutely, and I'm thankful to see that kind of bill, and I'm prayerful that it will pass. I'm prayerful that we can garner enough representatives as well as senators to see that that is passed in Tallahassee. We have 17 states that have the red flag laws. The number of people in the on the national level, the federal level, that's now pushing our president to do something of that nature on a federal level. I'm adamantly opposed to it, and I know that you are. And it's my prayer that we will see enough momentum in Tallahassee to protect we the people with the right to keep and bear arms. But we have the First and Second Amendment. And as I've said so often, Congressman, our Second Amendment is there to protect our First and Following Amendments. Were it not for that, and our Founding Fathers, I believe, recognized that so vividly at the time, that we need to have that protection. So I'm thankful for what you're doing in Tallahassee on those bills. Let's go back for a moment. We got about 2 minutes on this broadcast. Let's go back for a moment and wrap up the program today and talking about the real need to take your Bible to school, and the need to have Bible back in the classroom, and the need to have the heartbeat bill. I believe those three bills are very, very, very necessary for society, especially in the state of Florida and other states, but we're talking about the state of Florida and what you're doing. So, Congressman, speak to those very briefly, each of those, and then let's wrap up by getting you to tell us how we the people, how the listeners, how we may be of help to you in your responsibility before God and the state House of Representatives.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. There is legislation that will be introduced bringing the Bible back into our schools, where it will be taught to students as an elective course. That is so important. I think if we had had that in our schools all along, we wouldn't even be talking about my next bill, which is the heartbeat bill, protecting the life in the womb from conception.
Yes.
We wouldn't even have to have the discussion, but we are. And so that's why it is so important to bring our Bible back into the school. Then we're talking about repealing those parts which infringe not only on our Second Amendment, the gun ban, the Second Amendment, but also our First Amendment, our Fourth, our Fifth,
yes,
and also the 14th Amendment. So all of those, yes, have to be repealed.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we need to do some economic things also and get,
yes,
rid of taxes on manufacturing equipment parts.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me invite you to pray for Representative Mike Hill, District 1, State of Florida, House of Representatives. Pray that God will give him wisdom and protection and strength and knowledge each day as he serves us in the Florida House of Representatives. Thank you so much, Congressman. God bless you. We're looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues on the air.
Of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.